Finney's Wake is mentioned or not was a way you could look at what he was pointing out with Finney's Wake, because Finney's Wake is showing a Tower of Babel, but he's making references to the forms like television and telephone. So with that in mind, knowing that, I could go into the cold conspiracy angle, the banker, the idea that bankers caused World War II, as Ezra Pound would say, and all that, with a detachment, and I wouldn't take it too literally. But it was interesting. Humans do have an impact, and that comes into your statement.
I get on the radio, and I make some statements, and then people start writing in, you're an idiot, you're a dummy. And then it becomes an argument about who knows what. And that is where the individual creator has some influence in the vortex created by the computer, radio, or TV. You see what I'm saying?
For them, yes.
Whoever.
If they're so powerful, why can't they just turn their TV, radio thing off and go on and have fun rather than have to stop their world to straighten out those wrong among you?
Yeah. It is a nostalgia for an older kind of community where people could monitor in small towns what people...
Now, isn't that what happened with Dante when he wrote the Inferno? The Bible doesn't speak much about hell, but Dante sure did, and he was a really good Catholic.
But he also was a political exile and things like that, you know.
Well, that's why he was exiled, because he was a good Catholic, and he's what designed the layers of hell itself. The Bible doesn't do that. And yet Dante does, and then poor Jesus takes the rap for creating hell. They don't speak of hell. They speak of the references made from Dante. Dante knew way more about hell than Jesus did.
Very interesting, because when the printing press spread Dante's poetry around, then you had a meeting.
It activated the what they call the Left Behind series.
Is that right? They were referring to Dante?
Absolutely, because if you embrace that, you know, you got to get ready, Bob, before the rupture. The rapture.
Yeah.
But the rapture's coming. And then we in non-physical smile and lovingly, compassionately say, fine, you marvelous Christian followers of Christ, show us in God's Word where there's any reference of a rapture.
Exactly. So,
there ain't one.
But that's where the printing press spread the idea of hell and the idea of
dispensationalism.
Yeah, and Jesus didn't have a chance against that. He's in a puny manuscript in a Bible, you know. It's the work of Dante that's secular and gets spread in schools and influences people.
And exactly correct. And they make reference to the Tower of Babel, even so, as it was taking place, of this grid or this mean that was being pushed into society. And that wasn't caused from the printing press, but it was from the cohesive of the non-physical parts of creators. Isn't it interesting that even though they all spoke in different tongues, they figured out a way to communicate with each other even so?
When they were building the Tower of Babel, you mean?
No, when they were building the Tower of Babel, they all spoke the same language. And God said, wait, these human creators are so powerful, they're going to build a tower to heaven. And they're going to pierce the veil. And they're going to come into this world. It's not supposed to work that way. They're supposed to usher in heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And they're trying to build a skyscraper, you still are, that builds an escape from earth to the heavenly realm. You can't get there that way.
And God stopped it.
God didn't stop it. The human creator did. Oh, wait. That's the same fella, isn't it?
Yeah. So
that we cleared that up to be clear that we weren't giving a segregation here. We can't give non-physical the credit, but you can't take the power away from the God force of the human creator.
Right. So, but you said they were communicating well doing the Tower of Babel, but something.
Yeah. Before the tower was finished, they all spoke the same language. There was only one language, apparently.
And then something cracked them apart again.
Correct. Apparently, the way they recorded it was God smote them because they were activating their power. Okay?
Yeah.
And he smote them so they all spoke a different language so they wouldn't be able to complete their building project. But yet they still found a way to communicate.
Yeah, okay, so he smote them and they didn't, then I assume, didn't communicate anymore.
Well, but yet they do.
Well, did the Tower of Babel get built?
No.
Right, so they got dispersed. Okay, so what was the reason they got dispersed? If God did it, but we know by God it's the human creator, so what happened if there was an event of building the Tower of Babel? Was there such an event?
Yes.
Okay.
Say there was.
And they got frustrated in building it. And
the
what,
same thing that you human creators do now. You have a meme, a concept, a dynamic, a reality. Okay. So you take your... We're not going to give your printing press that much credit, but you're going to start becoming the Oprah Winfrey of the day.
Yeah.
So that, you know, your bowel movements don't stink, so therefore that's the way to go. And so then from there, if you're of Oprah, or you're of Dr. Flip, or the Wizard of Oz, or or whatever the new run of the thing is today, then what happens, unless you're Ellen DeGeneres, and then you just don't give a shit. You just say whatever you want to say, and people just love that, because that's how she's so popular. She's like, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, and I sort of can dance. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy with this process. I'm a happy lesbian, and they gave me a TV show, and I'm great.
Right, but that's that. But you're talking about that's...
Same thing in the Tower of Babel. They divided their energies rather than they were working together to complete this co-creation to pierce heaven. That was the point.
Right, and...
God, you're not going to run from us no more. We know where you are. It's the paranoid schizophrenic on the call in line. If you're a paranoid schizophrenic, press 5. Oh, wait, don't worry. We know where you are, and we know where to find you. Same thing. They were going to hem God in his own house. Okay? So that's how they come up with this bright idea to build a tower to pierce heaven.
Yeah, because they had the illusion that God was outside of them.
And they knew that they were very powerful, and they were. And they came together, and wonders were wrought.
Okay, how does that... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Then what happened is, they get 3/4 of the way to the top, then they start trying to figure out whose idea this was anyway. No, that was my idea. I knew we could do... No, I'm a Democrat. No, I'm from the grand old party. And Mama was, and Papa was.
And you're a Freemason.
You're a Freemason, and you ain't no more free than the children of Israel. You were so free, you had to borrow the money to build the Temple of Solomon the first time. But we ain't listening to what you got to say. You couldn't even control your own house through 3 buildings of the temple, so we certainly not going to let it be your idea. You'll just get up there and sell it to some German trying to take over something anyway. Or you'll run yourself right out of yourself, and so, no, this is our tower, and we've let you participate as long as we can, because you don't think for 1 second you're going to take over, because we're going to take over heaven, because this was our idea. And if it hadn't been for us letting you help us do this, then you wouldn't have gotten this far down the rabbit hole. And they go, no, this was my idea. I came up with... Next thing you know, they all started speaking in unknown tongues.
All right, now, how do you relate that to Oprah and Ellen and Dr.
Phil? The division of all the... They make the circle.
The niche marketing. Circle. It's niche marketing today.
Okay. So was the Tower of Babel.
Right. Okay, so...
Boy, that was pretty good. Boy, and Carolyn's going, wow, I don't know how you got that from there, but it was a stretch, but good for you.
No, Carolyn's not listening. She's watching a movie.
I understand, but one day she will.
Yeah, this is what she'll... I mean, yeah, Bob has no questions. Now we're doing the mystery of the Tower of Babel. Very good. Mm-hmm. So,
if you're able, you can take on Babel.
Right, but we got onto that because radio and... We're talking about today, Bob goes on the radio, and then people start arguing, no, that's a fake ion, that's a stupid ion, he doesn't know what to, you know, and you get that human creator arguing, and you're saying that's similar to what happened to Tower of Babel. We're creating a phenomenon, and then the Babel effect will happen. Everybody starts dividing and arguing over it, correct?
Yes, indeed.
And that's why...
And nobody cared what Oprah Winfrey thought about anything until she became worth over $200 million. And this black woman from the ghetto of Chicago all of a sudden is a great big fat cat, big deal.
Yeah, is that where she grew up, in the ghetto of Chicago?
Yep.
Okay, so... So you have this situation. This is where McLuhan said, he asked the question, is the spoken word the flower of evil? What he meant was, here, you know, you have a new medium way back, or what? No, not way back, right now, speech, at some point when, down the where, time, non-time, non-space zone.
The stamen of desire.
That's speech, the stamen of desire. And it happens, and people engage in speech, and then all this sort of Tower of Babel effect.
If it gets fertilized, if the stamen gets fertilized, then guess what happens? The flower blooms, but then it sets in the trajectory that the flower then must wither.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is the joke of human creation. We create things, and it has unforeseen effects and sows dissension.
Well, they're not unforeseen. They're very well foreseen. You put Obama in the president of the White House so you can tear him up.
Right.
You know, there ain't no mystery there. There ain't no mystery landscape there. You build a great big building so you can tear it up.
You're saying the population did that, not the Daughters of Revolution, not this, not
right.
that.
No,
it's the
no,
actual
no.
majority mind. The majority mind set this up.
The immoral minority.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, that's the moral majority. Oh, yeah, now we get them crossed up, but...
but here's the thing, is that they said, okay, we want to have some excitement here, so let's build up this guy through 2008, a phenomenally popular person, and then we've got him trapped. He's going to stick in that little... right behind the Resolute desk, just sit there, and we'll just take snipe shots, and we'll distract ourselves from what the issues are. That's about it, right? So he actually was set up by the popular consciousness. And is there a bit of racism in there? Let's put a black man in. And
no, he's only 1/16 black, so
So he's seen
that's,
by different...
That's not a very, very fashionable argument.
But he's definitely not white. And so if he's seen as
well,
something...
He's definitely not American, but right. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Oh, wait, can't do that. Oh, well, never mind. There's that buzzer again.
Bad robot.
Yeah.
So there it is. We set it up, and we're having fun now. And we're going to totally humiliate him by having him step down at some point.
Well, you're not going to. He can do that himself. He didn't need you for that, Bob.
Yeah, he'll get so irritated. Is he surprised? Well, we have brought this up. He says, what was I thinking? He is sort of more and more realizing that he's been a patsy in this situation. Would you agree?
I don't think that's a mystery landscape to him. I think you get it.
And he gets it. He gets what happened.
Bob, I mean, man, look, my stars, look.
No.
What they did to Nixon, and you'd want to go run for that job. Boy, I hope somebody kills him, so boy, we can then go have a good, then we can get that job. That's the job to have. People on welfare wouldn't even want that job, Bob.
Yeah, why? Yet there's always people in the population who think they want it, and they run for it.
Till they get it, and then they're like, what was I thinking? What conscious desire was I engaging to show up here?
And
we have a joke. Ready?
Before you do it, I just want to say, so that is the feeling of every president of the United States. That you can go back to George Washington, every one of them said, what the hell am I doing here? Did they get to that?
No. Wilson didn't say that.
He did okay. He was indifferent.
He did okay.
Gerald Ford did okay.
Gerald Ford didn't care.
Right, he was just filling in. But most presidents get to the position of what the hell was I thinking, and that is inevitable because as long as the human creators rely on external human creators to create.
Barry Goldwater had a party that he didn't make the nomination. He was excited
that he didn't make it.
Right,
Well, he did. He did make nomination because he ran for president.
But we're joking that he didn't make the party. He didn't get elected, Bob.
Oh, he was like John McCain. He was smirking after.
Tickled to death.
Yeah. So the joke on Americans is that they believe in this government structure and not themselves, and they keep being undermined by it. To create contrast.
It's not the government's job to take care of you.
Right. But we want to think. We do project and create that.
You blame it.
Yeah, we need to blame it.
We're less than because the government isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if all the rich people didn't have all the money, then we'd have more. And if we had more, then we could do what we wanted to, and then the government could take care of us. And then and then we could elect officials that's only going to take care of us, and we'll only put a good man in the job, see?
Yeah, so the a lot of thinking goes into that, and best to stay away from that. JW
well,
stays
works
away.
For the Kennedy. It works for the Kennedys.
Well, I don't know. Didn't
time sort of
what do you mean?
Up on
worked.
That one,
didn't yeah, it? Yeah. They got shot, Hillary, but they wanted to get shot, so they actually picked it. They wanted to become president so they could get shot. They were so
worked,
suicidal.
Well, you run in the run-rumming party, and that happens lots of them.
That's right. So what was the joke you had for
okay. Here's a parallel to what we're talking about, to make you understand.
Yeah.
It'll figure it all out. You find all the answers to all the questions. All the solutions are embedded in those codes. A lot of it's in strict code, and it's not
clear. Yeah, it's saying what Ion is saying.
It is indeed. And that's exactly correct. And if you could leave all the other dogma out of the karma,
yeah,
then you don't have any problem with it. It's a perfect text, and we would say it is indeed the Word of God.
Yeah,
because that's who wrote it.
That's right.
It was God, only he was walking around in meat sacks. But they go, no, you got that all wrong. And then we'd stop and we'd say, so tell me what part of Jesus didn't walk on this earth. They go, no, he came to save us. Okay, then if you're saved, how are you still found in sin? Well, we're sinners. Oh, but you're forgiven. Who forgives you? Well, God forgives me. And I said, exactly. That's exactly right. And if God doesn't, then that's between you and you, not between God and you, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
It starts working when you apply it the way it's spoken.
Yeah, did you say that's between you and you? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because if you're free, see if...
But not between you and God. I think you said something, it's between you and you, not between you and God. I don't know.
Correct, because see, you are God. So if you find yourself unforgiven, the problem is between you and you, not between you and God. Because God forgives you, and you're God. But if you won't have that, don't blame God with it, blame yourself with it, because it's your creation. You made a rule. Oh, I'm less than, I'm forgiven. Oh, I'm not Aryan.
Right, let me say this. Yeah, so that I say that human consciousness is doubleness. Now I can say, well, what I meant by doubleness is there was a you and a you. And and different cultures define what the images of the two yous are. And it seems that, why do different cultures have a different image of God? The idea of God in an abstract place out there is certainly not the God I don't think native cultures had. They thought God was in their animals and right there with them, and they participated in it. But when you get to what's interesting is the effect of writing and books, it abstracts your mind into another image. And that is why for 2,000 years the idea of God being out there somewhere, the great watchmaker, and kind of removed, that bizarre notion of God is the image that writing and literacy created, and that collapses now. But would I agree, in the secular level, that's why this weird image of God being out there and nowhere near you, in other words, a wide chasm between you and you, that was influenced by literacy and books. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah, in the secular effect. Now, someone could rise above that, or
even in the Christian effect.
In the what?
A lot of Christians are so heavenly bound, they're no earthly good.
Right, and that heavenly bound is an image of a you projected as if it's something else out there in space. It's like way off. It's an eye thing. Whereas
when
other
we all get to heaven.
No, no, yeah, but follow this. So I'm saying that the pre-literate cultures would never have an idea of God being up in heaven. They thought God was. They may not realize they were God, but they thought God was right there in
the deist did.
Oh yeah, no, there are different cultures, but in general.
That was the American Founding Fathers culture.
Yeah, but they thought they were God, but they were unique, and that never became a big meme. But I'm saying the general meme before writing for cultures was that God, they didn't even have an image of God, but it certainly was, you participated with it. It was right there. Your ancestors were in the trees, you know what I mean? The dead were right there. A lot different than thinking that God, that heaven was far away someplace. You get what I mean? Which was an effect of writing. Can you get the psychological effect of media from what I'm saying?
It's a stretch, Bob, but somehow we're embracing the concept.
Okay, now, the you and you, the doubleness in people, aside from the media effects on mass cultures, the individual idea of you and you, that is what people want to deal with, the you and the you. It seems that you're going to feel there's two yous. You're going to feel there's a physical and non-physical. Can you bring the two yous together so there's no difference?
Yes.
All right.
What we're talking about.
Yes, that's what you're talking about. I mean, people have, they go, there's a you, and then this other you, which might be a God.
If you can get you and you in the same basket holder, then you got it. Then you got it. Because then the non-physical is seamlessly stemmed with the physical. The labyrinth of your mind is perfectly all right. Then you start creating marvelously, instantaneously. And then they start wondering, what do you know? How does it always work for you? How do you so much as have a thought of something and then say, no. And then they say, no, this will make drives up and says, I have this case of Snicker bars extra and I can't use them. Would you like them? No. I don't get my Snicker bars this way. And you go, okay, fine. So then they give them to Carolyn and she's coming in and says, don't tell Bob these are for me. Just put them in their freezer and he'll think you got them. He'll enjoy them because I know about those of them and I can't have them anymore because I have a rule against them. And then you go, okay. And then you come in, you open it up, or you wouldn't even go look, but you come in, you see this thing, you can have all those today, because those are extra. I have some more. And you go, no, I ain't having four Snicker bars at one time. That's just silly. Well, what do you mean? Why do you want me to eat four? We want you to get rid of these, Bob, so you can get some more. No, I'm probably not even going to have one today.
But here's the point, is that if I look at my computer and telephone and forget about it being aligned with the category of the 20th century, they're just here, that helps me think of being in the no time zone.
Well, but then if you're in a no time zone, then you got to acknowledge that there is a time zone.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to call. What do you call this timeless place, no time place, without pushing against time?
Now.
Okay, yeah, if you're in now, then the little plastic box is just
ahead or behind of where you are.
Oh, okay, I'll say it's behind, right. That's a good idea. All these things around me are behind
me. It's all relative. It's either ahead of you or it's behind you. Okay, there's something you don't know, okay? That doesn't mean it can never be known. It just means that you haven't gotten to the place to where you've allowed it to be known to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's a new experience. Okay, you could go and look at that water, but if you've never been in it, you can't say, I'm an ocean goer.
Right.
Oh, but I've looked at that ocean, but I'm not an ocean goer. No, I wouldn't go that far. I can only get this, I put my toes in, but I am not an ocean goer. Same thing is true. But you only have now, and if you have any other empirical reference other than now, then it's a misnomer. Oh, no, that's history. Well, you don't know what history is, because every time you get history figured out, you have to go rewrite the book because you change your mind.
Right, so I'm going to say, that's not history, that's book. That's all it is, it's just book, it's not history.
Okay.
It's not
well,
now.
History's not history, because it's more hysterical than it is historical.
Yeah. Now, So we have kids growing up today who are, well, they work with the chip body, they're really good at it, but they may not know about the non-physical, or they do hear about the parallel worlds in their games, so we have a revolution happening in young kids' consciousness today.
Yes, some would call it a revelation.
Right.
Yes, it is revolutionary.
And they talk about the dumbing of America and how stupid the kids are and that, but that's nonsense.
Oh, really? But yet their chip bodies can text at 40,000 texts a day and
right.
250 words a minute. Good stenographers can't do that till yet. So they're not having to dig at it to get there.
That's
see, they're not having to physically dig the ditch to make the water go that way.
Yeah, it's like
why can't you just let the water go whichever way it goes and adjust yourself accordingly? And I'm not going to have you tell me what I'm going to wear and how I'm going to wear my hair and who I'm going to sleep with or not sleep with and what I'm going to do or be. And we say, great, knock yourself out. But you've got to create it. So don't go looking to mama and papa to give it to you. Let you work it out yourself. If you're banking on nepotism and you're going to be the creator, that eliminates your power of creation. If you're going to count on it that way, you're in trouble because you can't have it both ways.
That's right. So I'm thinking that the Generation X, the people in their 30s and 40s who write about the kids and call them dumbed down, they're the dumb one down one because they can't keep up with their kids.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And then
they can't even make them comb their hair. How are they going to make them be like they want them to be?
Yeah, yeah. And that's not an issue, not a problem.
Not at all. Not at all.
So, let's see. What
good.
That's right. So, I look at Ion clearing up the fog, the cloud. We're coming through saying, hey, it's all now. We can erase all information, and those that want to play with is okay, but we're presenting something that clears the deck. That's what's interesting about this. If people believe what Ion is saying, you know.
They don't have to. They have their own empirical references that they go by anyway. All this is the winding back of getting back together to where they can have an experience.